Well, hey there. My name is Anthony. I'm the care pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and I want to thank you for joining us for a special Ash Wednesday service. Now, some of you might be very familiar with Ash Wednesday. You grew up with it in your family. You attended church. You maybe even had the ashes placed on your forehead at one point. Some of you may have no idea what Ash Wednesday is and wonder why people once a year walk around with dirty foreheads. Well, Ash Wednesday specifically kicks off a season known as Lent, a period of 46 days until Easter. Lent is one of the oldest observations in the history of the church. In fact, there are signs of it dating back to the early church around 130 AD, which is literally only 100 years after Jesus lived and walked the earth. Now its practice has changed over the years, but its purpose has always been the same. It's a time of self-examination, a time of repentance demonstrated by self-discipline and self-sacrifice in preparation for Easter. Different traditions observe Lent in many different ways. The most common is fasting, which is abstaining from something in order to focus on God. See, we fast from one thing, and when we crave that thing, we're to replace it with leaning on God to satisfy that craving. Sometimes it's food. Sometimes it's a luxury item, but whatever it is, traditionally, we give up something for the 46 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. And each time we think about using that thing or eating that thing, we are to remember God and lean in to Him as we abstain from it. In fact, a popular question to ask someone is, well, what did you give up for Lent? In fact, many people treat it like a second New Year's resolution for those maybe who had already abandoned theirs. Over the years, I've given up many things for Lent. Maybe you have too. I remember one time I gave up coffee for the entire 46 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. I don't remember much about it. I was pretty much asleep the entire time. But you know what I did on Easter morning? I bought a venti blonde roast at Starbucks, which, just to let you know, has about 360 milligrams of caffeine. A standard cup of coffee has 95 milligrams. I thought my heart was going to explode. Another year, I gave up meat. I figured, why not, right? I'll give it a try. Easter dinner rolled around. I had a 22-ounce porterhouse steak, a baked potato with bacon on it, and my appetizer was chicken wings. I was literally sweating meat after that. I went right back to the things I was fasting from at the end of the Lenten season. And the truth is, I spent most of the time fasting from coffee and meat, thinking about coffee and meat and not thinking about my relationship with God. Easter Sunday would roll around, and I gorged myself on whatever I was fasting from, and that I would continue to go back to it throughout the year. See, for me, Lent didn't produce a positive, permanent spiritual change. And Anthony, while we're at it, why the ashes? I mean, I get fasting from something, but why do we kick off the Easter season with something called Ash Wednesday? Well, historically and throughout Scripture, ashes have symbolized two main things: death and repentance. We're introduced to this idea of dust early on, Genesis 2:7 specifically. It says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And this idea that from dust we have come, right? That the man's body was formed by God from dust. Solomon the wise, Solomon a king, Solomon who was one of the most wealthy people in all of the Jewish scriptures, wrote in Ecclesiastes this. He says, "All go to the same place, all come from dust, and to dust we all return." Now, I know it gives you the warm fuzzies thinking about this kind of stuff. The Lord formed the body of a man from the dust of the earth, and eventually we will die and we will return to dust. You're thinking, man, that's dark. And biblically, we see flashes of ash throughout Scripture to signify our own mortality and sorrow of what sin or break in relationship has done in our life. We see it in Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 3 puts it this way: "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and in ashes." this idea coming out of Daniel that there's something in my life that I examined, something in my life that I was going through, that I brought to God, that I gave to God in prayer or petition through fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. We see it in Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 1 says, "When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out to the city, wailing loudly and bitterly." So why do we do it? What's the point of Lent? To make us depressed? You know, we're journeying through the Gospel of Mark right now on the Anthony Chris in the Morning Show podcast. And Mark's writing of the life of Jesus, he recounts the first words spoken by Jesus in his particular gospel, which is found in Mark 1:15, and it says this. Mark 1:15 says, "The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Now, since the Gospels were originally written in Greek, the word for repent here, the word for repent is a word that literally translates, the Greek word is metanoete, right? But the translation is a spiritual change of heart. So repent in this translation literally means a spiritual change of heart. And Lent is a season of repentance. Lent is a season of heart change. That's what repentance is. It's heart change. Now, I'll admit, giving up coffee and meat and maybe social media for Lent can certainly be offered up as suffering and used by God, but it is debatable about whether forgoing them will bring about lasting change in our lives. Giving up coffee for 46 days didn't help me in the long run. And maybe it won't help you either. So what is Jesus saying to us when he says, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news"? In the terms of bringing real, lasting heart change when it comes to this season of Lent. Well, let's look at the verse, right? "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Now, when Jesus said this, he had just gone out into, he had just come back from the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days. And in those 40 days, he fasted. And yet, as soon as he came out, the moment he came out, he immediately began his ministry. He comes out of the wilderness having been in a 40-day period of self-examination, self-denial, and yet the entire time he's connected to the Father. He's quoting scripture to fight his battles. He's consistently praying to the Father. And at the end of the 40-day period, he bursts into Galilee where it says he preached the good news, which was what? The good news he was preaching is that I am here. Jesus is here. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is here. And what does he want us to do? Repent and believe the good news. He's saying we need a heart change, and we need to remember that the message of Jesus Christ is a message of hope, not a message of dread and sadness. That's why it's called good news, not okay news or pretty good news or the daily news. No, it's called good news. Because the good news is that even though we come from dust, God loves us. And because of what he's done by sending Jesus to pay for our sins, we have incredible value. And yet we let so many things tell us otherwise. We let so many things pull our hearts away from God, whose sole reason for sending Jesus is found in Luke 19 when it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus, sometimes called the Son of Man, came to seek and save the lost. The whole season of Lent leading up to Easter is a reminder of what Jesus came to do, because without him, we'd be lost. We'd return to dust, and we'd stay dust. And the truth of the matter is that there's many of you here right now that are lost. Maybe you're lost when it comes to your relationship with God. You think he's angry at you, or you think he's disappointed at you. Maybe you're lost when it comes to what you're going through. We can be lost in doubt. We can be lost in worry. We can be lost in hopelessness. We can be lost in grief. We can be lost in loneliness. We can be lost in fear. Whatever it is you find yourself bringing to this Ash Wednesday, remember the whole purpose of this season is to bring about heart change. What if rather than just fasting from coffee, meat, bread, social media, or soda, and immediately returning to it Easter morning, what if we choose to fast from the things that truly rob our hearts from the freedom, from the peace, from the joy that can only come from him? And even better, what if by the time Easter morning came, not only did we never return to those things that made us lost, but because over the last 46 days, we had been earnestly allowing God to take over whatever it is that I'm lost in? What if we looked at the Lenten season as not just a season where we change our diets, but we really change our hearts? There's a minor prophet in the Jewish scriptures. We call it the Old Testament. It's called Joel, the book of Joel. And he puts it this way. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 says this. It says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." What is God calling you to rend from your heart? What is God calling you to fast from this season and never to return to? Bitterness? Jealousy? Rage? Envy? Unforgiveness? Comparison? Whatever it is, look at the words of Jesus. In Mark 1:15, "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Look at what God says in Joel, right? "Even now," declares the Lord, "return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." What are both of those verses saying? The time has come. Even now. You have been carrying this for far too long. So during these next 46 days, repent from it. Allow him to change your heart so that when it comes to Easter morning, you truly can celebrate what Jesus meant when he said in John 8:36, "So if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed." Don't wait. The time has come, even now. Are you ready to depart with what's weighing you down? From that thing that keeps making you feel more and more lost? As we reflect today on Ash Wednesday, a day that typically focuses on death and repentance, what if that thing began its slow death today and we began the journey of a heart change? Listen to Jesus' words once again from Mark 1:15. "The time has come." That's him drawing the line in the sand. The time has come. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus has come near. Repent, change your heart, and believe the good news. And it's good news indeed. And he wants you to give it to him. He wants you to let him carry it. And here's the crazy thing. He doesn't want to give it back to you. Don't ask for it back. He can handle it far better than you can. So let him. This season, why don't we try fasting from the things that are truly weighing us down? Why don't you try fasting from the things that are robbing you from that freedom that he came to give? And over the next 46 days, you allow him to continue to work on your heart so that on Easter morning, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we can truly celebrate knowing that our heart has been changed. Will you pray with me? Father, we just want to thank you for this powerful reminder. Ash Wednesday can be a powerful beginning of literally, as it says in Joel, of rending our heart, of literally changing our heart. And only you can do that. Father, our first step is acknowledging during this season of repentance that we do need to change our heart. That there is something we're wrestling with, that there's something that we have that's holding our heart heavy. That there is unforgiveness, that there is pain, that there is regret, that there is guilt, that there is shame. And all of these things you have said, let me carry. And so my prayer is that over the next 46 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, we will start the heart work of giving it over to you. So that Easter morning, we can triumphantly say those words, who the Son set free is free indeed. And it's only possible through you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.